Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Warriors don't like playing the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies don't like playing the Warriors. And in the remaining 19 games this year on Golden State seasons, they're going to go to Memphis two times. They've got two games left with the Grizzlies. Both of these games are in Memphis. And that made us sort of pay a little bit more attention than we might have to Tim Kuehn's piece today about Dylan Brooks. Because we do know and have acknowledged, even though the Grizzlies haven't really won anything, they are enough of a pain in the rear end to where there is a legitimate rivalry. And you can't have rivalry in this league without a villain. And Dylan Brooks loves playing that role. Tim Kuehn, ESPN senior writer, really did a heck of a profile on a guy who is very comfortable being unliked, even to a degree in his own locker room, apparently. Tim, thank you for joining us here on Damon and Ratto. It's good to have you on. And look, sports needs villains. They need guys to volunteer some villainry. And Dylan Brooks does just that.
Yeah, he sure does. And, you know, those of us in our business like it when we come across a guy that's unfiltered and will say what's on his mind. And when you combine the on-court villainy with his with his willingness to talk about it, that's gold.
Is how much of, you know, his talking about that is basically just sort of tarring the road in front of him for the next guys that he has to play against? And how much of it is genuinely him believing that this is the way he stays in the league?
Well, I think there's a couple of things at work there. One thing is that I do not doubt that he is totally calculated, especially with what he talks about with the Warriors. I think he is, as you say, tarring the road in a way. I think he's also knows that he's on a team with a, I guess you'd say, superstar in Ja Morant, who kind of gets attention for other reasons. And I think that Brooks is willing to sort of stand up there with the, you know, stand on top of the roof during the lightning storm for those guys. I think that's part of it. He'll take the heat. And yeah, I think that there's another aspect here where I think he feels like he's been kind of overlooked, especially in the all defense, you know, voting over the years and partly because of his personality. So I think there's a few things at work here. I think he kind of saw this as an opportunity to campaign a little bit for himself and get a little attention and maybe deflect a little attention from his teammates at the same time.
Is he a good guy? I mean, do you think that, there's acting like a villain, then there's really being like a bad guy. I mean, Draymond Green is an on-court villain. Off the court, he's a really good guy. He's very personable. You can hear it in the way he talks. Does Dylan try to remain in bad guy mode even in an interview?
No, I didn't get any impression. I can't judge what a guy's like, you know, off the court or, you know, in his own time. I can judge him by the fact that there's never been anything public about him being in trouble off the court. So everyone that I talk to, his high school coach speaks very highly of him. He still goes back there and back to outside of Toronto and helps the guys there, holds, you know, does the camp thing and all that like most guys do. So I have no reason to think he's he's a bad guy. As far as the way he was during the interview, I mean, he was pretty intense, you know? I mean, I think he prepares for games by, you know, watching the guy he's going to guard. I kind of had the feeling that he prepared for the interview a little bit. You know, I was there for a week before I talked to him, and we talked before and after every game, and then we had a big sit-down toward the end of the week, I think he probably would have sized me up as the week went on. I'm fine with that. I was doing the same to him.
How much do you think it bothered him, if at all, that Steve Kerr really put him on Front Street when, you know, Gary Payton got injured, Gary Payton II, and he said Dylan Brooks broke the code?
I think there's a lot. I think that that was part of it. I think that he felt, that incident happened, and it was a bad foul, but what it resulted in really wasn't what Brooks did. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, he did break his elbow, but Brooks didn't hit his elbow. Like, that was it. I know cause and effect and all that, but I think Brooks felt like that was just, you know, a hard foul. He went to Payton individually afterward and apologized. Payton seemed to accept that. I think that Brooks felt a little bit hurt by the fact that there was never, other than Payton saying what he said, which was that he accepted it, that there was no sort of more official sort of apology from the Warriors. Or not apology, but just, like when they got a little bit cooler heads later in the series, that there was never any kind of acknowledgement that what he did was not as bad as maybe what Kerr said he did. It's a long way of saying yes, he does still harbor resentment over that.
How much of what Brooks takes on is just him, and how much of it is like the tradition of good Memphis teams that always have had sort of a handy villain? Like a decade ago, that guy was Tony Allen, and that those good Memphis teams in the middle of the last decade, you know, had serious defensive presences, and they were mean teams to play. Is there any sense that Brooks senses that he is advancing the historical Memphis Grizzlies team?
I think that's part of it. I think he feels it's his identity individually within the league, but I also think it's unavoidable because, you know, you walk around Memphis and everything is still that grit and grind business. You know, it's probably harder to pull that off with Ja Morant, but you can with Dylan Brooks, you know. The Tony Allen role, which is kind of what Dylan Brooks has taken on, it's still part of that culture there, and you know, I know he's aware of it and is trying to live up to it.
One last question about Dylan Brooks before we take your temperature of the Western Conference and the rest of the NBA. We're talking to Tim Kuehn here of ESPN. Dwight Schrute famously says on The Office, you know, I didn't come here to make any friends, and I haven't. and basically, that is the modus operandi, I think, of Draymond Green's career, and it's obviously how Dylan Brooks is building his career. It's funny, you'd think that defense forward players would have a level of admiration for each other. When Draymond was asked about, you know, there was a comparison made between his game and Rudy Gobert, Draymond took great umbrage to that. He was insulted by it. You tried to compare Draymond to Dylan Brooks, and Dylan basically got insulted by it. Says he doesn't like Draymond at all. He doesn't like Golden State. Doesn't like anything they do with them. And it feels like being angry is an attribute that maybe even more NBA players need. Do you think he really dislikes Draymond, or he admires him so much and sees enough in him, in Draymond, that he's, you know, professionally jealous in some ways?
I kind of let his high school coach, this isn't in the piece, but I'll let his high school coach answer that, because I asked him a version of that question, and his answer was, if Dylan Brooks got traded to the Warriors tomorrow, he and Draymond would be fast friends by Friday, you know, like in like 3 days.
Right.
It would be, they are in a lot of ways the same guy. you know, and if you look at the Warriors' criticism of Brooks and the Grizzlies is that he sort of hasn't earned the right to talk, you know?
Right.
And I think Brooks doesn't quite buy into that, you know? I think he feels like whatever he can do to try to get in their heads just a little bit, you know, as he said, all he wants is a little bit of real estate in the guy's head that he's guarding. He probably should know that he's probably not getting that real estate. He's not probably closing that deal with the Warriors at this point. I think they all know each other well enough and have the histories. But yeah, I think he admires what Draymond does. I mean, they are two of the few guys that you can say they can guard Giannis and they can guard Lillard. You know, I mean, that's just, there aren't very many guys that can do that. And yeah, I was, you know, I knew the history with those two, but I was more or less trying to pay him a compliment and it kind of went sideways.
You know, you've been covering sports for a very, very long time. This feels like a very unique Western Conference where the 4 and the 10 seed are separated by a grand total of 3 games. Again, the Warriors are looking to go 4 games over 500 for the first time all season. And if they do that, they will go from, you know, kind of the outhouse to sitting sort of pretty here in the Western. It's just nuts. What do you think of the Western Conference and how jumbled up it truly is?
Well, I look at it and my take is that the playoffs are going to be fun, right? I mean, you're not going to have that traditional blowout matchup, you know, until you get to the semis. You know, it's going to be fun right off the bat because the teams are so evenly matched. You know, I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, Memphis went through a really bad stretch. They are, you know, they've kind of righted the ship a little bit. They look like they might stay in that 2-3 spot. Phoenix is the wild card given what they did. And with Durant, I think, you know, everyone expects them to be the team that challenges Denver or Golden State at some point. But they're kind of thin and they're kind of thin with big players, at least with big defensive players. Once Ayton's out of there, and I defer to people who know a lot more than I do, but I happen to be watching Jalen Rose today, and his take was that if the Warriors play the Suns in a playoff matchup, they'll foul DeAndre Ayton out early because they'll just get him in pick and roll matchups from the jump, and once he's out of there, that's their advantage over the Warriors. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I think there's going to be, you know, great matchups all the way up and down. And Sacramento's in there probably, more than likely, barring a historic collapse, which I don't put it past them. But I think that's a really fun story up there, too.
It's 5 o'clock, by the way.
Look at that, Ray. Ray tossing to the top of the hour. Wow.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on Twitch, YouTube, and the free Odyssey app. Damn well better be free.
Better look out, Tim. Ray's been in broadcasting school.
The only thing that 5 o'clock tells me is that we're 55 minutes away from getting the hell out of here.
And that I've been talking too much. You didn't mention that.
Oh, we'll get to that. Based on your week in Memphis, and maybe you were focused inordinately on Brooks, but do you get a sense that this team is mature enough to make the kind of deep run in the playoffs that will get everybody the notice that Brooks clearly craves for himself? Is this team ready to make a run, or are they still, in your mind, a bit away from that?
I think they're a bit away from it. I think in some ways they've, even though they played better, this doesn't probably make a whole lot of sense, but they, for what they need to be in the playoffs, I think they've kind of taken a little bit of a step back because they're not, I mean, Brooks just simply can't shoot the 3. Morant has gotten considerably worse from a level that wasn't that great to begin with. You know, Bane is kind of their only consistent outside shooter, and I don't know how far that takes you. You know, I don't know how far that takes you in this game, today's game. And then there is, yeah, there is that maturity level. They can kind of get a little bit over their skis. You know, Morant can. He can forget that there's four other guys on the court. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. gets into foul trouble pretty frequently. It'd be interesting. I think a big key is what happens when Steven Adams comes back, because despite his sort of wild man look and attitude, sometimes he's kind of the steadying influence on that team. And I just noticed it a lot, even when he's not playing. I mean, he's like following Taylor Jenkins down to the scorer's table during play. You know, while the game's going on, like giving him tips and stuff, and they seem to be fine with it. You know, here's a guy on the team and sweats running down to talk to the coach as the game's going on, and that seems to be a role that they're willing to give him. So, I don't know. I don't know that they're in any better position than they were last year, to be honest.
Tim Kuehn, ESPN senior writer, great article, great piece on Dylan Brooks, an interesting profile. You should check it out, considering he's got two more dates with the Golden State Warriors coming up before this season ends. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you, guys.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.